The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
All right, well, we find ourselves back in the book of Galatians. By the way, what's the theme for 2019 for Palos Bible Church?
Rooted.
It's called Rooted. Rooted, however people end up. You know what? Something that's come to my mind that I just want to make you aware of. And that is, do you see how roots work? It's all below the surface. It affects what is seen, but roots are below the surface. I am convinced that a part of God's will for our lives is that the rootedness of our relationship with God would deepen and strengthen during the year 2019. Can I get an amen? I'm convinced that's a part of what God would have to take place. And so you say, well, you know, Pastor Josh preached on roots, but you haven't, Pastor. Can I tell you that each message I preach literally is for the purpose of strengthening the innermost part of our being, our relationship with our God? Today is a case in point in that we're going to be talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hey, I need you to know that there are people within the family of Palos who at times struggle and don't have strong and deep roots. No names. It's just a fact. I mean, I think that's true of almost every church that could be talked about. Why? What's happening? What's the difficulty? I'm going to say a part of the difficulty is that you don't understand just how much you are loved by Almighty God. You've gotten self-focused rather than focusing on our relationship with Him. And today's passage is going to be a part of what God could use to be strengthening our roots. And that's where the real stability comes. Let's understand, the culture is not where you're going to find stability. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's just not going to happen. Please, please, learn this ahead of time. Don't depend on the culture for your stability. That's why a part of our counsel at times have been, don't spend too much time watching the news, because it'll depress you. And it's not make-believe. There's real difficulties that are going on out there, but there's something that you can find stability with, and it has to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Growing up as a typical boy, I lived in the suburbs, and as I lived in the suburbs, we had telephone poles. Looked very similar to this. And as a typical boy, what would I want to do? Come on. Nobody didn't know the answer to that. Everybody knew that, yes, that is a part of what my brother Bill and I would have wanted to do. And our goal would have been to get to those rungs and get up to the top, and I would not still be here today, because except for the fact the rungs, what? They don't start at the bottom, do they? They knew what they were doing. Now, I need to tell you that obviously the goal would be to have a ladder to get you up to the steps, the rungs, and then go the rest of the way. And there are some who teach that Jesus is the ladder who gets you up to the rungs, but you need to work too. You got to do something. You don't get something for nothing. Now, I'm not making this up. This literally is a part of the teaching that is out there, though it is not biblical. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It is not biblical, but I need you to be aware of it. You see, Palos, I need you to know that if we had people that I did not know that I thought might not be believers, I'd be giving an invitation every Sunday. But often we have regulars. We have those who have been here and continue to come. And I feel like my responsibility is to help you to be able to be doing the work of the ministry outside of this building. And therefore, the messages are to help you to grow, to help you to develop stronger roots. That you are equipped to take and share the gospel with others that need to hear it, who might not enter the church building to be able to hear it. And so I need you to understand that there are some, whether they've ever heard this illustration or not, that their thinking is that Jesus does something, but you know what? You got to work the rest of the way to be able to get there. And it is not biblical. I need you to understand that. In fact, think of this illustration for a moment. I may use this at Pacific Garden Mission. It's just been on my mind. But all of us have sinned. Whether you admit it or not doesn't change the fact. The Bible is clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you needed to know the address, where would you look for that? Romans 3:23, okay? That's where you'd look to be able to find that fact. But you need to know sin is not a misdemeanor. We've got those kinds of crimes out there in the world, and some of them are dealt with in some places, you know, they are not. They kind of winked at, and time goes on. It's not a misdemeanor. Sin is not a misdemeanor. Listen, sin is not even a felony. Sin, according to God, is a capital crime. And what we are guilty of and responsible for would be the death penalty. That's what you and I deserve. Do you hear me? Because it's just not understood out there in the world. I'm telling you, some people think of sin as a misdemeanor. I haven't done anything nasty, you know, I've done nothing horrible. Others have, but I haven't. It's not like a felony. No, it's worse. It's a capital crime. And all of us are worthy of death. People think about God, you know, taking a life and going, wow, how could God do that? I thought he was a loving God. No. We deserve it. That's what's being lost in our culture, is the understanding of the seriousness of sin, and that we deserve to be separated from God. And therefore, the scriptures lay out for us the gospel, the good news. And the good news, portrayed in a number of different ways, but here's one illustration, would be that the cross is the only way to avoid the sentence of death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's all about Jesus. Jesus doesn't get us to the first rung. In the illustration, Jesus takes us to the top of the pole. Now, the boys and girls are out of the room, but we're not supposed to be climbing poles anyway, right? I mean, but you understand the concept of what I'm saying. The point of it is that whatever the goal would be, Jesus is the way. He's not a part of the way. He's the way. When he died, he said, it is finished. The work of your forgiveness and salvation. Though I deserve death. Hear me. And this is what is being forgotten. This is why you and I sometimes get in our own ways, because we don't realize how much we have been given. We kind of say, yeah, you know, you did that for me, but, you know, what have you done for me lately, God? Hello? Where does that come from? It comes from a misunderstanding regarding what God did and what we deserved. We deserve capital punishment. Never forget that. That's what the work of the cross made available as we come to Him by faith. Couple passages. We are going to go to Galatians chapter 2, if you want to just slide there. And I'm just going to give a couple of verses that I want us to be aware of. John 3:36, it's an important one. If you're talking with people about the gospel, you want to get them to the place that they begin to understand this, because this is what the scriptures lay out. Can we repeat it together? John 3:36. Together, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Why? Because what our sin has done is a capital crime. What we deserve is the wrath of God. That's not a mean, horrible God. That's a righteous God. We're the ones who have sinned. You got that? The responsibility is on us, and God graciously has made a way available through Jesus that we can find forgiveness. Another passage for us to be thinking through, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The passage started out saying that when we were without strength, when we had no capacity to do anything to change the way that things would be, we do our own thing, we are going to be judged by God. But the passage teaches us in verses 6 and 7 that God, though others might not give their life for somebody, possibly for a good man some would give their life. And it comes to this, and once again, let's go ahead and quote it together. First of all, the address, and then the verse. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The passage is teaching us of what we deserve on our own, but what God through his Son has made available. You need to go over these verses. You say, well, I've already trusted Christ. No. Going over these verses is going to deepen your roots. It's going to cause you to realize, without him, I can do nothing. But God graciously, through his Son Jesus, has come. Not just for eternity in the future, but to forgive us and be at work in our life today. When we lose our focus on Jesus, who he is, and what he's done, we begin to struggle. When you do it over a period of time, you not just struggle, you begin falling on your face. And over a period of time, if you don't do anything about it, you can begin to feel that life is just a drudgery, and why am I stuck in it? You know how you get there? You lose your focus on Jesus Christ. If you're allowing an understanding of who he is, it develops strong and firm and healthy roots that give us stability no matter what we might find ourselves going through. Does that make sense? So there's something about going back home and being able to see the importance of what it is that we have. And as a result of that, you know what? To just plain get excited about it, thank you, God, for what it is that you have done. And may you pass this along to others. Man, there's people that are living and they don't have this. Oh, God, bring someone into my life that needs to hear this today. When's the last time you prayed that prayer? Because I got news. God's willing to bring people into our lives. In fact, I think he does on a regular basis. But are we open? Are we willing? Are we prepared? And these passages, these kinds of passages from the scriptures, you know what they do? They prepare us. They equip us. They give us so that we don't have to say something, we've got something to say. And that's important. Oh, maybe you can't see that. Can you read that okay? The great exchange. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I know you see the passage. Didn't realize it was going to be that dark. But another passage that just reminds us. Think about it. He who knew no sin. By the way, if you can't read that very well, can I suggest that you just go to 2 Corinthians 5:21 and it's like in the book. So you can be able to look at that. But he who knew no sin, that's talking about Jesus Christ, became sin for us on our behalf. It's called the Great Exchange. And I don't know if you understand it, but the passage that we're going to be studying today, and go with me if you don't mind to Galatians chapter 2, and let's go ahead and just look at that passage right now. Galatians chapter 2, we've been going just verse by verse through this section. See, what happens is that what Paul's saying, it's got a lot of depth to it. Can we float past it quickly and just say, hey, all of this is good stuff? We could. I'm slowing down. I want you to understand it. I want you to see what is there so that it's not a cryptic, boy, it's really good, but it's really deep. I want you to understand what it is that Paul's saying. So here we are in Galatians chapter 2. And by the way, here's essentially what it is that we've been looking at from verses 15 and on. Verses 15 and 16 have been talking about law in relationship to salvation. Remember in verse 16, three times we find him saying that it's not by the works of the law. Remember that? Over and over and over. And only in one verse we find in verse 16 that he ends up making us aware. So what's the relationship of the law in relationship to salvation? Guess what? You can't get saved by the law. The law simply makes you aware of God's standard. Hey, anybody meet God's standard? Raise your hand. What will I do if somebody raised their hand? But you know what? Thank you that you understand. No one can meet the standard of God outside of Jesus Christ. So the relationship of the law to salvation, you can't get saved by keeping the law. We then went on and we saw last week the relationship of the believer to the law. And we find it doesn't fit. You know, is that how it works? Do you end up living by the law? Certainly not. Remember King James Version? God forbid. No way. It's impossible. And he ends up saying, verse 18, if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I try to live by the law, all it does is pronounce me guilty. Because guess what James says? If you keep all of the law and you end up breaking one of them, you are what?
Guilty.
Not just guilty, guilty of all. Guilt. And what kind of thing does sin bring? It's a capital offense. So does a believer live by the law? No. And then in verse 19, we saw this. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I want to just slow down and talk about that, and let's move into verse 20, okay? Listen to this. For I, through the law, died to the law. The verb that we're talking about regarding dying is in what's called the aorist tense. I'm not going to get real heavy on you, but there's reasons why God wanted this language to be used for what it is that he's saying. The aorist is past tense completed action, meaning it's done. It's not in process. It's past tense. It's done. The point of it is, what did I deserve because of my sin? Death. Jesus, when he went to the cross, the Father looked and did not see his Son at that moment. He saw my sin and he poured out his wrath. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took upon himself my sin and yours, and the wrath of God was poured out on him. Listen, not only was I guilty, the sentence was carried out. Not on me. Jesus took my place. He took what I deserved. And Paul is trying to explain to the church at Galatia that's so confused and thinking, you know, Jesus is maybe the latter, but I got to do what I got to do. No, you don't earn it. You don't work for it. It's not about the law. It's not about somehow, you know, being good enough, good works that get you there. It's all about Jesus. And so he's explaining through his own life. Here's how I see it, Paul says. And he says in verse 19, he says, I, through the law declared me guilty. Judgment was carried out. I died to the law. The sentence has already been carried out. It was just carried out on Jesus. And when by faith I trusted him, I was forgiven because the debt was already paid. Does that make sense? Verse 20, continue in the following. I have been crucified with Christ. Now, that verb crucified is in a different tense. Died, past tense, completed action. Crucified with Christ is in something called the perfect tense. Now, we don't even have this in the English, but they have this in the Greek. And what it means is that the action took place in the past, but the results of the action continue to the present and into the future. And so Paul says, here's how I see my life. That I died when Jesus went to the cross and he took everything I deserved. And that I have been crucified with Christ, meaning when he took all of that upon himself, it is through that I find relationship with my Savior. Not just somebody did something for me, someone loved me more than I've ever been loved or ever will be loved. When you begin to understand that, you know what it does? It builds the roots. It causes me to realize my life only has meaning because of him. Without him, I am going at a breakneck pace off of the chasm and into eternity, separated by God from God forever. That's what I deserve, and that would be my direction, but for the cross. And so Paul sees his life and says, I'm crucified with Christ. Let's keep going. Let's understand what it is he's saying. He says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The reason that I'm still here and that my life has any meaning, it's all about Jesus. You got that? It's not Jesus did part of the work and I did some of it. No. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And again, that's also in the perfect tense, meaning, you know what? That I began a relationship with him, and today I have a relationship with him, and in the future I will have a relationship with him. And you know why? Because God began a good work in us, and he will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You don't walk in and then walk out. You become a follower of his, and we sustain that relationship until we're together with him one day, and the relationship endures and continues, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our future. That's what God has planned for those who love him. And Paul's laying it out, and he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning, hey, you know what? Yes, I died at the cross, my sins, but here I am in the flesh, in my body, still alive. And so he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable. Amen?
Amen.
But there are some passages that just rise above the others around it because of the significance of what is expressed. And Galatians 2:20 is one of those verses. It is worthy of your being able to memorize it. You know why? Because it will strengthen your roots. Does anybody know what's going to happen in 2019? We'd love for all of us to be able to have a smooth and easy and victorious life and no problems, right? And then there's reality, which is there will be trials and there will be difficulties and there will be struggles. And whether you stand or whether you fall is going to be based on the condition of your roots. Galatians 2:20 is a passage that you ought to go over again and again and again. For it reminds us not just of how Paul saw himself, but of how God allows each of us to see ourselves. You with me? I have been crucified with Christ. He paid the total debt. And what did I owe? It was capital punishment. That's what I owed. That's what you owe. Don't diminish it. Don't make sin somehow less than it is. See it as the hideous thing that it is. And recognize that God, knowing what you deserved, sent his Son. And when he went to that cross, it was not for his sin. It was for mine, and it was for yours. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I mean, not because we're excited about it, but because it's a reality. Yeah, we sinned. Yes, we're guilty. Yes, we deserve that. Oh, my goodness. What Jesus did that Paul began to understand, and he lays it out for the Galatians, and I'm grateful because he lays it out for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Why do we get into the Bible? Because you're supposed to. No, because our goal is that we would live in this body a life that honors and glorifies Jesus Christ. And God gave us the Word of God on a daily basis. Thinking back to that story I told about basic training and all that went on. You know what? We talked about being able to go to our commander-in-chief for orders of the day. Just as in the military, the president is the commander-in-chief, in life, in the army of God, the Lord himself is our commander-in-chief. I want to get the daily orders of the day by being able to get into his word. You see, relationship causes me to want to be into his word. Prayer. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to pray. I want to talk with him. I'm able to have a relationship with him because of Jesus Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hey, I don't know if you're falling asleep. I don't know if you've had a long week last week. This is powerful. You need to know it. Galatians 2:20 doesn't stop here. It continues on, and we see this verse that goes on, verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God. Now understand, the word grace means that it's something that you did not deserve. If you receive what you deserve, that's called justice. If you do not receive what you deserve, that's called mercy. If beyond not getting what you deserve, you are offered in addition a blessing. That's called grace. God has shown us his mercy. He's not given us what we deserve. And his grace, he has offered to us something beyond which we could imagine, and that is not just not having the capital crime, you know, punishment go on us, but a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's all of grace. You got that? That's nothing of ourselves. It's all of grace. And Paul is saying, oh, Galatians that are working at trying to earn it and work for it and telling others that you've got to do this and earn it, you've missed it. My roots are understanding that Jesus paid it all, that it's all him. And my response is out of gratefulness, not out of trying to earn it. Does that make sense? Listen, we're living in a world where the lost are lost, many of them that have nothing to know and understand about the gospel, and even some that are churched are lost because they think they need to earn it. Now, I'm not saying this. Anybody walks out the door having their buttons burst saying, hey, how about it? We got it down. They got it wrong. We got it right. That's not why it's being shared. Would you, out of the love of God, understand where he picked us up from? We deserved his judgment. It was a capital offense. You got that? That's what you deserved. Are you grateful for the gospel? Are you grateful that somebody shared with you this message? Hey, brother, sister in Christ, pass it along. You got it? Share this tremendous joy with someone else that they would be able to have that joy. You never know how God would use you. A Dan Krupa was talking with a young, inexperienced, very naive young fella that was 19 years old. He had no way of knowing that God would take that individual and allow him to be involved in ministry. And I need to tell you, this is not to me, but just to God, not only in Palos Bible Church or Oak Lawn, but around the world, others have heard about Jesus Christ because God has allowed me the opportunity to share. I think about the ministry through Pacific Garden Mission and people that hear and come to Christ. Dan couldn't have known that. But God is taking and using individuals that could not know what the future would hold, and through their faithfulness, touching lives for him. Anybody here want to be a part of that? Yeah, you bet I do. That's what it's all about. Through having our roots strengthened by understanding the truth of the Word of God, we are able to develop and to grow. Verse 21, one more time. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then what? My translation says, I know there's a couple of them out there. My translation says that if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. He didn't have to go to the cross. It was a waste of time. That's what Paul says. If righteousness could be gained through doing, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He died for nothing. But he didn't die for nothing, did he? He died for my sins, and he died for your sins, and he died for the sins of the world. This is the grace of God. And when we live out grace, it strengthens our roots, for our foundation is Jesus Christ. when we just try to do good things and we begin thinking we're really something, I want you to know the roots aren't where they ought to be. Rather than the tap root that goes down deep and strong, think of a carrot, it's kind of radiating roots that are not strong and bring about the difficulties of life and what can happen. It's like Jesus shared the illustration, you know, there in the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And you know what? The weather came. The circumstances came. The trials came. The horrible things that you hope will never happen came. And they stayed strong. You see, their life was built on the rock. Their roots went deep to God Himself. The foolish man built his house in the sand. I had nothing to worry about. I got my 401k. I've got my insurance here. I've got this going on. My house is paid off, maybe. You know, I got this going for me, that going for me. I got nothing to worry about. Do you understand that outside of God, no foundation will hold you? So verse 20 is powerful. I want to tell you, verse 21 is profound. It's all about God's grace. If righteousness can be earned, Christ died for nothing. And we hear that and we repudiate that. We say, that is not accurate. That is not correct. There is no ladder. There is no part way to get there that I earn. It's all about Jesus Christ. And I am so blessed that He is in my life. I don't want to take a step to dishonor Him. What can I do that would bless you, God? I can't earn salvation. It's already been given to me. What can I do that can honor and bless you in the brief time that I have before I'm together with you? And it literally dictates the direction of my life and helps me to make wise choices and decisions. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand the practicality of the Word of God? Some people say, oh, it's just a lot of religious mumbo jumbo and it's stuff and it's filled with errors. No, it's not. It's profound. It's so clear. How could I do anything this week but depend upon the grace of God and live for Him? And God's people said, Father, help us today to see You as You are, to understand, Lord, that when it all comes down to it, it is about Your grace. It is about faith. It is about Christ alone. It's all because of Him. Father, help us that we would understand Your word, glorify You in it, and commit ourselves that this week we would depend on Your grace and look to share this message of salvation with others, all because it's grace alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.